Pastor Riggs, are you there?
Yes, I am. I'm here.
Amen.
Is
we're
John?
So glad that, Yep, we're really glad to have you tonight.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me on again.
Yeah, amen. So we got a communique that got sent out. You know how things have this kind of, you know, butterfly, electronic, interdimensional ripple effect that moves across the internet. And we got a communication, and it just tugged at my spirit and my heartstrings, because this is a topic that is very dear to me. When the Lord, started opening my eyes to this, you know, alien, demon, fallen angel phenomenon that we have going on across the world. I as part of that indoctrination, I had been led to walk down some pretty dark paths. I know that these are places that you've also had to deal with. Some of us, you know, at different times in our ministries are, you know, required to do a little bit of the dirty work, and some of that is in the realm of spiritual warfare, dealing with the forces of darkness. And we know that that's a real big part of your ministry. And we saw a communication come out, which I was actually quite happy to see that I saw your name, and that it appeared that you had sent it out. It was about David Jacobs being on Coast to Coast AM and talking about this new Nephilim, that I believe that's the phrase that you coined, these alien human hybrids living on the Earth. And I just thought that that's a perfect segue into what the work that you're doing, and we thought that you could expand on that for us this evening.
Well, yes, and of course, David Jacobs is not a professing Christian. He's been working with what he refers to as alien abductees for many years. He wrote a book called The Threat, and where he describes his experiences of working with these survivors of abuse. And he makes it very clear that they all report the eggs, sperm being taken from them, that this is a breeding program, not an experiment, a program that's been going on for decades. He sees it as quite threatening and sinister, and he says, I don't know where they're from, but they refer to these entities as aliens, and that is the deception. They are not aliens. They're the same beings, only a modern generation of what was produced as a result of the Bnei Elohim, the group of fallen angels mentioned there in Genesis 6, who took to themselves wives and produced through sexual union a hybrid offspring called Nephilim. That's what the Bible calls them. So we have modern day Nephilim today. Jesus says, as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the return of the Son of Man. We have reports, people I've been working with for years, that none of this comes from the alien abductee community. This comes from those that are generational satanic ritual abuse, people who were born into royal families whose agenda, and we're talking about ruling heads of what we often refer to as the Illuminati, these ruling European families, and some of them outside of Europe, but predominantly my experience is these European families, his goal is to bring in their Christ. And, of course, in their belief system, their Christ, according to the Hitler, Nazi, Aryan supremacy kind of ideology, is to for mankind to evolve to a new level of evolutionary development, which would be the Homo Noeticus, the Homo Universalis, the new man, the goal of transhumanism, or Tidar Dishadin, the Omega Point, that man is going to reach a new level of evolution, and that is the ruse that is being promulgated through this whole alien gospel, that these aliens are basically coming back and they're going to rescue us and make it possible for us to move from our inferior state now to a new level of humanity. Of course, the Bible teaches that is, receiving the mark of the beast, which is more than just a mark. It will be a DNA upgrade, and the DNA source code will come from this modern-day hybrid that is currently in existence. But, yes, I think the interview with David Jacobs is quite revealing in that he's not speaking from a Christian standpoint. He's just talking about that which represents a hybrid breeding program that's been going on for decades, and he sees it as very dangerous. And the end game is to take over the human race.
Oh, amen. Praise God. And there's no question about it. And it's fascinating, too. I mean, one of the areas that I cover and have covered in my research for many, many years, and also with various people of, you know, that are believers and are part of the various, prophecy circuits and such out there. You know, it seems that it ultimately, you know, you have two schools of thought that, you know, you have those who completely ignore it as even being an existing problem. And then you have the other school of thought, which is that, well, they all got to be demons and you know, spaceships be damned. And then you've got this school of thought out there, which is burgeoning, where people are starting to say, hey, you know, is it possible, even remotely possible, that there was a Luciferian rebellion, that there was a war in the heavens, like Revelation 12 refers to, and that it was a tangible war? So there are those out there that are asking questions like, you know, when they look at the ancient aliens phenomenon, when they look at 300,000-year-old Neanderthal skeletons, when they look at 150-ton rocks that are carved in Pumapunku in Bolivia, they start asking questions about, you know, were these really just a bunch of giants that shouldered up against a rock and moved it, or were these some advanced technologies that are spoken of, like in some of the ancient texts, like the Mahabharata and the Bhagavad Gita? So you have these two dynamics I've noticed out there, where a lot of folks are just saying, oh, they're just a bunch of demons, but then I always struggle myself. I always have a little bit of a hard time with that just carte blanche waving of the hands thing, because I think to myself, well, golly, you know, in the years and years and years that I studied alien abductions. And, I'm not sure I can think of one single time that a demon was able to drag somebody out of their room kicking and screaming and perform operations on them with needles and things. So that's where I get a little disconnected about whether, you know, how does one come to this conclusion that they're strictly demons?
Well, I think they're trying to explain away, not explain away, but they're trying to define that which is obviously deceptive. I mean, the whole alien gospel is that it's a new age paradigm, and so they see that as demonic, and that is true. But when we look at the manifestations of what is referred to as UFOs, I believe there are those that are spirit beings that are flashes of light that can move rapid rates of speed. They can, come on and off the visible plane of our perception. And likewise, fallen angels can of course take on different forms and morph into different, you know, familiar spirits, ancestral spirits, different kinds of beings, and even craft. But that doesn't cover the whole spectrum of the Satan's endgame. You have that, but in the mix, you have real hybrids that are physical, and they can be killed, just like the Nephilim were drowned in the flood. They're physical, and they're the offspring of the union of fallen angels with women, as it was in the days of Noah. You also have craft that are physical. Then, of course, the report that was from the recent UFO disclosure event there in Washington is that these anti-gravity or electrogravitic craft have been in existence since the mid-50s. As an evolution of the Nazi technology, some of the limited access, limited budget, black budget, as they call it, programs, where trillions of dollars have been put into these different projects that have produced anti-gravity craft. I mean, some of them are reported to be 1.5 kilometers across, which is about a mile in diameter. It's there. You have these craft that are actually physical. And of course, the reports that I have from survivors that I'm working with, that these craft are piloted by these hybrids. Now, that just probably sounds outlandish to people. It sounds like science fiction. But, where are all these reports coming from in terms of not just where, but look at the quality of reports, look at the evidence that's out there. And I thinking of the most recent book that Lynn Marzulli has released, On the Trail of the Nephilim, Part 1. And in fact, I was in Chicago here about a month ago with a friend, Doug, Doug Hamp was there. He was a presenter. Doug Woodward, Lynn Marzulli, Russ Dizdar. They were there presenting, and after the conference, I was sitting around the table with these guys. Russ wasn't there, but Lynn Marzulli, and I was talking about, you know, his new book, and he says, I cannot disclose what I'm going to be reporting because it could cost me my life. I want to get this out before I can even talk about it. Well, he did talk about it on the most recent, I think it was last interview with on the Coast to Coast with George Norrie, and he laid it all out. And in fact, we have that interview posted on our website. And he talks about what he has discovered in his on the trail of Nephilim, and he's looking for the physical evidence. I'm not in that particular area of work because I counsel people who are coming out of the satanic ritual abuse and that kind of thing. But here's what he said. We have evidence of giants all over the world, and during the time of Joshua when he was commanded by God to kill all the inhabitants of Canaan. And, of course, why? I mean, Jonah wasn't, you know, why didn't God kill all the inhabitants of the Assyrians who were bloodthirsty? They were worse than the communists. But there was mercy given to them, but there was no mercy given to the Canaanites. Kill every man, woman, child, and beast, because they were infected by this hybrid phenomenon called Nephilim, Numbers 13, verse 33. So here's what he discovered, is that some of those tribes that were not tribes of the Nephilim, the hybrids, Zamzumim, Emim, and the Amorites, etc., some of them escaped and went north and ended up in the Ohio Valley. And some of them got on ships and went into South America and different parts of the world. And so they were those that escaped the destruction under the mandate of God during the time of Joshua escaped to different parts of the world. But they were wiped out, and I believe God wiped them out. But I think it's Fritz Zimmerman in his book Nephilim Chronicles. He says that the Nephilim that have come to America, they were here before the Indians. The Smithsonian has obfuscated, concealed this, and in Lynn Marzulli's book on Trail to Nephilim, he documents all this. They purposely hide this, the fact that the original natives of America were not Indians. They're Nephilim. They're the Amorites. And Fred Zimmerman has mentioned that. If you go online and look at Jim Vieira's work, he's not a professing Christian. They find all these Nephilim, these different mounds, and these structures that are built that are not only the platforms that intersect with the zodiac and stellar ley lines and this kind of thing. This is found all over the Northeast, and this has been documented, but why is it covered up? And the average American and even Christian doesn't have a clue that the original inhabitants of America in America were hybrids. They're not Indians. And so, you know, when I saw this, and I just, you know, came across this just about a year ago, that all the evidence points to this, I talked to my friend Doug Woodward, who is an author. He's written about 7 books. He'll be speaking in the conference and at the Pikes Peak Summit. He's written a number of books. One is, I think, a couple of books on the on America, the occult history of America. I forgot what it's called, Power Quest, Part 1 and 2. When I mentioned to him if the foundations of America could be proved to be hybrids that were not killed by Joshua, they escaped over and came through the UK and into America, what would that mean in terms of the foundation of America and the blood that's on the soil? They were bloodthirsty. It's been proven they were involved with human sacrifice. What would that mean in terms of our roots and the effects that has had on our population and civilization? I mean, I could just go on, but I think I'll stop there.
Pastor Riggs, this is Ken, the co-host. Just amen to what you said, brother. And, you know, 2 Samuel 21:20 talks about the battle at Gath where there was a huge man. He had 6 fingers on each hand and 6 toes on each feet. And you can Google this and actually see the evidence. But the pastors in churches across America turn a blind eye to this. Why do you suppose that is?
Well, there's propaganda. The propaganda is in about the 3rd century, and it wasn't until about the 3rd century, around the time of Augustine, where they began to look at the belief, or the understanding of Genesis 6, that the Benihai Elohim were fallen angels, according to the extra-biblical books of Enoch. They all believe that. Philo of Alexandria, and he spiritualized the scripture, but he saw the literal interpretation of that. Josephus and his works understood that. The early apostles understood that that passage is referring to that these are hybrids. This was the belief up until about the 3rd century. Then about the 3rd century, this myth, came, this eisegesis, that the sons of God there are the line of Seth. There's nothing in the text that even remotely refers to that. The text makes it very clear. In fact, if you look at the term Benihai Elohim, sons of God are never used for mankind in the Old Testament. It means a direct creation of God. If you look at the last verse of Luke chapter 3, Adam was a son of God. After that, they're the sons of Adam. So the sons of God in Genesis 6, they're not called the sons of Adam, but the daughters that they had sex with are called the daughters of Adam, daughters of man, daughters of Adam in Hebrew. So the people who have bought into the satanic lie that this is the line of Seth, when you come to this reference of Jesus in Matthew 24 and Mark 13, as it was in, or Luke 17, as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the return of the Son of Man, they were marrying and giving in marriage. Who are they? Well, go back to Genesis 6, too. It tells us who the they were. In fact, why did God wipe out the entire civilization except Noah and his family? Because the attack on the seed of the woman, Genesis 3:15, was designed to corrupt the human gene pool and, of course, obliterate any possibility of Christ coming as man to be our Redeemer. And so it is a satanic attack. It's a satanic conspiracy against the fact that when Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so will be the return of the Son of Man, to conceal what is going on right before our eyes, so while it's happening, people either dismiss the whole UFO phenomenon and don't recognize what it is. It's a hybrid breeding program. And the church just remains asleep. And the primary problem is with the pastors in the pulpit. They are asleep, and there are a few out there that are not. But for the majority, most of them would think I was a crackpot or anyone that believes this is crazy. Well, Jesus didn't say as it was in the days of Samuel or as it was in the days of any other person. Why did he say as it was in the days of Noah? So there's something that was happening in the days of Noah that was very specific and peculiar as attack upon the seed of Christ, and now it's happening in this last generation in preparation to bring forth Antichrist, because it's very important for listeners to understand Antichrist and the false prophet are hybrids. And how do we know this? When Jesus Christ returns in Revelation 19:20, they are immediately thrown into the lake of fire. Why don't they appear before the great white throne judgment? All mankind that has not believed in Christ or accepted God's provision of salvation in whatever dispensation they live, they're going to stand before God at the great white throne judgment, every unbeliever. Well, these the Antichrist and false prophet won't. They share the same fate as their father Satan, Revelation 20, verse 10, who's thrown in the lake of fire prior to the great white throne judgment at the end of the 1,000-year reign of Christ. And the Antichrist and false prophet are thrown into the lake of fire at the return of Jesus Christ, before the inauguration of the 1,000-year reign of Christ. So here we see two hybrids, and there are many others out there, that are going to arise on history, and I believe they're alive now. And how is it that the church, that is supposed to be salt and light in the world, that would be asleep to this fact?
Well, you know, Pastor Riggs, Jude, Jesus' half-brother, kind of warned us about some of this in verse 4, where he called them certain men. They crept in unawares, and before of old ordained to this condemnation. Maybe they were the same people that, they were referred to as men of renown. I'm just kind of asking this as a question with a little bit of a commentary. And then, you know, the naughty person over in, what is it, Proverbs 6:12, if you look at that word in the Hebrew, it's Belial. And then if you do a word study, and you can't do it in a modern translation, but the sons of Belial were even cursed by King David. And do you suppose that perhaps those were some of the people that Jude was warning us about?
Well, of course, he's talking about apostates that have crept into the church, those who are false apostles and false teachers, 2 Peter chapter 2. So I believe those are all human. So you have, you know, that phenomenon that's going on. He's warning about false teachers. But if you read on in Jude chapter 6, not chapter 6, verse 6, I should say, 6 and 7, we see a reference to the angels who sinned in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4, who were cast into Tartarus. That's a specific group of angels, Satan, and are obviously, and his followers are not there now, but they sinned. What is the sin? Jude verse 6 says, those who did not guard their arche, their assigned sphere of rule, but they abandoned their oikonome. That oikonome is used in only one other place, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 2, referring to the future resurrection and bodies of believers, which are spiritual bodies. So they abandoned their spiritual bodies, and what they do? They assume some form of physicality so they could have sex with women to produce a hybrid offspring designed to corrupt the human gene pool and to thwart the coming of Christ. And he says there in Jude 6 that that their sin is in exact the same manner, likewise, as the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah, where they went after strange flesh, that is, flesh that is contrary to their nature. So what was taking place in Sodom and Gomorrah is analogous to what took place when the angels of Genesis 6 went after strange flesh, that is, human mankind, to produce this hybrid offspring. So I think, you know, people who resist that or are apostates, yeah, I mean, they don't have to be hybrids to do that. They could just be fallen mankind. You look at Jeremiah 23 and you see what he was facing, the false teachers, the false prophets in his day. I think Ezekiel, 13 or 14, he talks about the same kind of phenomenon. So we have all that going on as we approach the end. And Jesus said in Matthew 24, the sign that he mentioned four times, do not be deceived, do not be misled, do not be deceived. I've told you all things in advance. Four times in Matthew 24, he warned God's people not to be deceived.
Wow, you know, it's funny when you understand this whole new Nephilim, this whole hybrid, as Dr. Jacobs puts it, you know, this alien hybrid breeding program. Call it a Nephilim hybrid breeding, call it a fallen angel hybrid breeding program. I'm not going to split hairs about the terminology. At the end of the day, I think when you take a second look at Revelation, it really kind of opens up a lot of possibilities that you wouldn't, you know, a traditional theologian probably wouldn't have in their arsenal of, literal exegesis. For example, in Revelation 17, verse 12, you have where it says, the ten horns which you saw are ten kings who have received no kingdom as yet, but they receive authority for 1 hour as kings with the beast. These are of one mind. And I'm like, oh my goodness, because then you go back over to the Dr. Jacobs testimony where he's talking about one of the things that he's noticed is that there's this telepathic ability that they seem to exhibit, and that these hybrid Nephilim, well, he doesn't call them Nephilim, but he calls them the hybrid offshoots of these reproductive experiments that they're doing. These hybrids have or exhibit this telekinetic mind control power, and I found that then you look back at Revelation, you're going like, oh, these are of one mind. It's almost as if they're some kind of a demonic hive mind. Would you care to comment on that?
Well, yeah, I think there's a synchronization. We know from Ephesians chapter 2, the prince of the power of the air, Eros, that's the lower atmosphere. He's the prince of the power of air. He's then referred to the ruling prince of the air. He's further defined as the spirit singular that is energeo, he is supernaturally operational in the sons of disobedience. Spirit singular in sons plural. So there is a spirit that actuates every unbeliever in varying degrees, and you take it to the extreme and the ultimate expression there in terms of the kings of the earth, as we see in Psalm 2, they're actuated by the spirit of Satan to have one mind to worship the beast, and of course in that context to destroy the harlot, that religious Babylonian system, so the only worship that will be allowed is the worship of Antichrist.
Amen. Praise Jesus. So how do you perceive this whole thing? Okay, so, you know, we got this you know, fallen angelic creature, you know, alien demon abduction thing going on, and they're obviously poking and prodding and collecting, you know, eggs and different things from the humans, and they're creating these, contortions of whatever, you know, it's the whole Noah Chimera, hybrid paradigm, you know, kind of revisited. Now, so what do you perceive this? You know, I mean, according to Dr. Jacobs, this has been going on a real long time, and he seemed pretty conservative, you know, very concerned, you know, about his own personal credibility. I'm sure he's taken a couple of, you know, a number of shots upside of the head, like many of us have when we go into this realm of understanding, you know, and he was trying to be, you know, a little bit conservative, and he was pointing out that, you know, to his research indicates that this could have been going on as much as 120 years. And I'm like, you know, so what's the end game? I mean, really, let's just, you know, fast forward, if you will, into the future. You know, you've got warnings coming from Lady Gaga, and she comes right out on February the 14th of 2011 on the Tonight Show, and she says that the Grammy Award ceremony that they did with the egg is a ceremonial having to do with a race. Being born a race within a race of humanity. So she basically publicly speaks in front of the whole world, and of course everyone's clapping. She's exposing what they're ultimately planning on doing. If 120 years is an accurate estimate from Dr. Jacobs, then they must have a bunch of these entities created. What are they going to do with them all? How do you see this unfolding?
Well, ultimately, as we see in Revelation 19:19. All the weapons of the armies of Antichrist after the destruction of economic Babylon, Revelation 18, which I believe the daughter of Babylon does definitely point to the United States. I don't see any other
Amen.
Candidate for that.
It is.
It's another issue there. But when everything is the whole armies of Antichrist unified, there's no battle of Armageddon now. Armageddon's over. Whatever Armageddon represents in terms of the nations coming together, like we see there in Daniel 11, we have the four quadrants coming together in a final battle. That's over. And when it's all said and done, there's a unified force to wage war against the Lamb returning to the second advent. Now, those armies on the battlefield, like Russ so well articulates, how did they get there? What were the precursor? What was the pre-planning? Well, you can go back to Nazi Germany and just trace their breeding program, their desire to create a God-man, not just a Superman, but their ultimate goal was to create a God-man so they could have the right to rule the world as a superior race. You just follow that program all the way through up to the present. This is the whole program that was really accentuated during the Nazi era is well advanced now, and according to the people I've been working with for a number of years who are generational SRADID, there was a transfer ritual that occurred in 1976 at New Swansea Castle. It was a very elaborate three-week ritual. The Pope married these people. He was the Pope at the time. He wasn't there. He's not that high up when you get to the real high echelon, but he was there as a figure in marriage rituals, and there was a transfer of power from the kings of the earth to the hybrids. And these hybrids are not reptilian. They're not grays. They're quintessential. What they represent is our replacement. That is the replacement of Homo sapiens. So the goal is to deceive mankind to think that through the vast evolutionary process, we and our mortality can exchange who we are, buy a DNA upgrade, you take the mark of the beast, and by the way, you won't be able to buy, trade, and sell without it. You take this, and you shall live forever. Go back to Genesis 3. You will not die. You shall be as Elohim. You shall live forever. So they won't die, no more disease, they got all these promises. And so they're going to line up to be able to, the whole New Age ideology, which is the ideology of all the alien abducted, you know, their message, is that man is going to be able to evolve and live forever. That's the whole point of the singularity. Ray Kurzweil, a number of those out there that are in the singularity projects, and those that are looking for disclosure, they're looking for these advanced, what they call aliens, as our saviors to help us move and advance forward. And the satanic goal is to replace who we are, and so that mankind cannot be saved, wipe out the human race, so that it's only hybrids. That's the ultimate goal. Now, when Jesus said in Matthew 24 that if those days had not been shortened, that is the days leading up to the Son of Man, that's Matthew 24, no flesh would be saved. Well, there's a lot of things going on in Revelation 6 through 19 that would wipe out mankind, but at least a part of that is the destruction of the human genome, so that mankind is being diminished. And why would Satan do this? Because once you take that mark, what happens? You're thrown in the lake of fire. There is no redemption. You
right.
cannot be saved. So the agenda, the satanic agenda, is to destroy and corrupt mankind to a maximum degree. That's what he's done throughout history. In the last days, he's doing that with steroids. But here's the thing: since there's only one third of the angels that fell, and what was Satan, he's outnumbered 2-1. Not only at 2-1 in terms of number, but in terms of quality. The elect angels qualitatively are superior to any fallen angel. So what is he going to do? What does he have to do to prepare himself for that final battle against God in Revelation 19:19? He is using every means to increase numerically and in strength and through technologies to wage war. There are programs in DARPA and in advanced military technology. There are weapons pointed towards the sky under the aegis that there might be an alien invasion. Well, from those that are governed by the prince of the power of the air, Ephesians 2:2, who are the invaders? Well, Jesus Christ is going to be returning with his church. We see there in Revelation 19:19, those that are coming with him on white horses, victory steeds. Well, these weapons are going to be pointed. And so Satan must make preparations, and he's well advanced in those preparations. We don't know the day or the hour, but we can know we're living in the final generation because Israel has been born as a nation, Isaiah 66, verses 6 and 7. They have, in 1948 was the time frame. It's the prophetic clock has been activated. That generation will not pass away until all these things be fulfilled. So we don't know the day or the hour, but we can know we're living in the generation. Satan is ramping up. This is his final move. God has his final move coming, which I believe will be the day of visitation. And it'll be the darkest hour ahead for the people of God, it'll be the brightest hour for those that are a prepared remnant. Those who love their God will do exploits. In the midst of all that, which represents the highest level of evil and final confrontation between God and Satan, God has his people ready to manifest his final move, and I believe that will be in an overcoming remnant.
Wow, that's awesome, and amen. Now, I have in front of me a book called The Serious Mystery by an incredible researcher by the name of Robert Temple. It says subtitle is New Scientific Evidence of Alien Contact 5,000 Years Ago. It shows a picture of Akhenaten on it. The pharaoh from I think it's the 13th dynasty or something like that, 1300 years BC or whatever, I don't remember. But basically he does, it's a very impressive work, and he researches ultimately the Dogon tribe of Mali, West Africa, because they had incredibly advanced knowledge and understanding of the Sirius star system, the Sirius A, Sirius B, Sirius C stars. The B and the C stars were not visible until a certain grade of telescope was put together in the mid to late 1800s, and these Dogon tribesmen were aware and had documented the existence of the B and C star prior to that telescope's existence. And so he postulates and tracks this whole tribe in West Africa back to, he actually genetically tracks them back to the Akhenaten dynasty. And I find that interesting because evidently there's a lot of documentation out on the internet. For example, for any of the listeners who want to take a look at this, if you type in Freeman TV, F-R-E-E-M-A-N TV, and also Obama clone of an Egyptian pharaoh. There is a remarkable amount of information that, you know, all this data, this promulgated data out there associated with the origins of Obama. It's surreptitious, it's dark, it's upside down, it's untrustworthy, it's laced with all kinds of misinformation. No one believes it, hardly anybody that's woken up to it. And I'm wondering, have you ever heard about this whole connection with Obama possibly being, you know, maybe a created hybrid of the Akhenaten DNA that they dug up from evidently some old tombs or anything? Have you heard about that?
Well, I have, but I'll be honest with you. I anyone that's that visible, and he's a visible pawn, just like many of the other world leaders, he's really low on the order of authority. If you get behind Obama,
right,
you have real hybrids. And I'm working with people who claim
correct
to be with real hybrids, and Obama is 100% subordinate to these higher entities.
Yes.
So he's a front person. These guys, you know, it says in 2 Thessalonians 2:7, the mystery of iniquity is now supernaturally operational. Only, you know, when he who is now restraining is removed out of the midst, then the Antichrist will be revealed. Well, the word secret there in the Greek is mystery, I should say, is secret. It's secret. In other words, it's hidden. And the whole Antichrist system is hidden until the restrainer is removed. And so the people that I've been working with that have been behind the scenes, part of the projects, a bit of part of the hybrid breeding program, when they see these particular entities that are now, since 76, the kings of the earth, they're hidden. They're not out in front. So this man is just a script. He can't do anything around the teleprompter. Now, if you're dealing with a real hybrid, he doesn't need a teleprompter, okay? I mean, this guy is, he's groomed by heirs and all this kind of thing. So I do not believe that he is a hybrid. We have the same kind of thing, by different individuals. I won't name them. They believe that, well, the royal family, the Windsors, they're hybrids. I think it's really ridiculous. I think it's what that does, those kinds of stories, when people read that, this is so off the wall that they won't listen to anything more. But getting back to that report that the advanced technology going back to 5,000 years ago. If you go back to the oldest civilization in world history, the Sumerians, which is the cradle of civilization, the Akkadian Empire, the old Babylonian Empire came out of that Sumerian culture, and they wrote in cuneiform. And these tablets and some of the hieroglyphs, what they call, I guess, the Anunnaki, I guess is one of the references that are made in there, that you see diagrams of our solar system with the planets plus a tenth, which some people claim to be Nibiru. How could they didn't have telescopes back then. How could there be a diagram of our solar system? So the point is that if you go back and read the books of Enoch, and especially the Ethiopic version, which is supposed to be the most reliable, is that there's the reports that this advanced technology was given to mankind in exchange for women. You give me your women, because they had a hybrid breeding program, and we will give you technology. And, of course, they didn't care. He said, yeah, we'll take the advanced technology, and here's our women. And so there was technology that was given. In fact, you can read that in the accounts. And even in some of the ancient Indian, and I forgot some of the documentation, but they show airships. You see different hieroglyphs, on the stone carvings and in caves of advanced technologies around the world. Where did that come from? Well, I believe it came from the same source that we're talking about, these fallen angels. Now, what happened to these civilizations? They were wiped out. I believe they were supernaturally wiped out because Satan was trying to bring in that hybrid program, and God wiped out those civilizations. What happened to the Mayans? What happened to the Aztecs? They're wiped out. And why? Because it wasn't time. Well, all of that which has been occurring throughout history is now converging on this generation, and this is the terminal generation, and that's the point. We need to be focused on, okay, not just what the enemy is doing, but what is God doing right now? What is he doing with the people of God? What does he want to do to awaken the church? What does he want to do to build into us the character of Christ? God, the Holy Spirit's supreme focus is not on prophecy as we would study it or all this information. The Holy Spirit's supreme goal is to conform believers to the image of Christ, for Christ to be fully formed in them, so they might be filled unto all the fullness of God. And my concern is that people are pursuing all kinds of things that are informational, but is it transformational? Not all information that we're occupied with is transforming us. And so I'm in this up to my teeth. I've been working with SRADID, the supernatural demonization exorcism. I've been doing this for years. But that isn't what holds my attention. What holds my attention is, who is Jesus Christ as the glorified Son of Man at the right hand of the Father, the one in whom all the fullness of Godhead dwells bodily, the one who is my high priest, the one who intercedes for me, the one who is Emmanuel, God with us in the midst of all this. God has an end time agenda for the people of God. Do the people of God even know what that is? Do they know what the provision of what God has made in these last days? And that's where the emphasis I would want to see. All what people have to do, would need to do, is go to Eric Ludy. Just type in Eric Ludy, L-U-D-Y. He doesn't really talk about prophecy or anything. His whole emphasis upon what has God provided for the people of God to become the church as we see in the apostolic times. Why do we not see a church that's turning the world upside down? Why is the church in the West receding, basically going backwards, where only the church that's in persecuted countries of the world is growing? Only where the church is a counterculture is the body of Christ advancing. The church in the West is a subculture. And look, we're no threat to the powers of darkness as a church. Look at what's happened in our country. Look at the horror. I mean, how could things be happening if the church was really alive and being persecuted for righteousness' sake? That's my concern, my friends.
Well, absolutely. As a matter of fact, you nailed it. Praise Jesus. One of the things that we, there's this, I wrote an article years ago called The Solomon Problem. And anybody who's studied even superficially the Old Testament understands that Solomon ultimately apostatized. And one could say, well, you know, and if you look into it, basically he got into stuff that he dug a little bit too deep. He got into stuff he shouldn't have gotten into, and it ultimately led to him apostatizing. You can suggest that some of the ancient Jewish mystics and some of the current Jewish believers today, when they start dorking around with the Kabbalah, ultimately are falling into the same problem, the Solomon problem. And even earlier on this show, I told people, I said, folks, you know, those of you who are out there who are spending time, reading about the forces of darkness, reading about, the Nephilim, reading about all this dark, dark, dark stuff and digging up all this Anunnaki Sumerian stuff, you need to be spending a disproportionately larger amount of time reading the Word of God. Because if we don't start preparing ourselves spiritually, the conversion, being born again, I don't know what your belief system is, but I believe being born again and the sanctification is a process. I don't think that somebody walks up and gets handed a golden ticket to heaven the second that they go in and say, well, I believe in Jesus, and then they get this like Willy Wonka ticket, and okay, you got a free walk right into the narrow gate. That's not how it works. You know, there is a commitment and of obedience and praise and worship and following Jesus as a bondservant that's a requirement for leading into that narrow gate. And we spend on this show, we spend a tremendous amount of the first hour of every program trying to help people understand that the stakes are really, really high. And while this stuff is interesting, it's a side effect of our walk. It's a side effect of our discipleship. We are to cast out devils, lay hands on the sick, and they will be healed. These are things that we do after we come to the knowledge of the truth and Jesus being our King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Praise God. You said that very, very well. Kenneth?
Pastor Riggs, on the weekends here in Pittsburgh or near Pittsburgh, I'm involved with a coffee shop ministry, so we get people coming in. And we have this one woman come in. She professes the Lordship of Jesus Christ. She says she's been a Christian for 40 years, and she says she's a victim of SRA and DID, but she keeps telling us that the Lord is drawing her back to her past. And that's not the Lord Jesus Christ that I know. How would you address that? How would you deal with...
Yeah, I don't know what she means by past, but when you're working with people who are trauma survivors that are dissociated, if they're going to forgive and they're going to be able to be healed, they have to remember what they're amnesic to. Okay, so they cannot be healed unless that which is amnesic to chronic trauma is excavated and uncovered, okay? Because
okay.
chronic trauma produces amnesia. And so in those amnesic areas of their history, there could be a lot of demonization, a lot of ongoing idolatry. And if that's going to be healed, you've got to remember it, okay? So I don't know what she means calling back. I don't know what that would mean. But, you know, I was working with one survivor. She said, you know, we're to be forgetting the things that are behind and pressing towards the mark. Well, in Philippians chapter 3, Paul isn't forgetting his past as a trauma survivor. He's forgetting his past as being a Pharisee of Pharisees, his success as a Jew, and even the attainments he may have made in his Christian life. He's letting all that go and pressing for the prize. So he's forgetting anything that has to do with attainments and earthly status. But when you're dealing with people who are SRA, they have to remember or they're not going to be fully healed. I mean, you cannot be redeemed. I don't say redeemed. If you're going to go through the sanctification process, I should say, and be restored, you've got to know what you're restored from. And everyone who has been involved with SRADID has massive amounts of trauma and idolatrous practices and horrible things that happened. And it's walled off by amnesia through chronic trauma. And the programmers have done this purposely. And so if this person means the Lord is drawing me back to my past, I just would have to ask her, is it, what do you mean by past? You know, because that would need to be clarified for me before I would be able to respond to that accurately.
Thank you for that. That's very valuable. It's a real struggle because we don't have that sort of history with the ministry team, and she comes in and she is just so insistent that she has to uncover these things, and we're at odds on how to minister with her.
Yeah, no, it is a challenge. I understand that. And for a person who is a survivor, they're tormented by many things, but the everyday presenter is not conscious. But they know that, you know, I need answers. And of course, the people who understand how to work with this, their internal DID system is you can begin to identify those different aspects of their identity to help them start to connect with their past and bring about the experiential sanctification process. And I've been doing this for years. I mean, you know, you could preach truth to people. You say the truth sets them free. Yes, but the truth has to get in. And
right.
the truth to set person free, they can't. The conscious everyday presenter is usually highly amnesic to the fact they may have parts still going out to rituals. And the Christian presenter, it can be completely amnesic to this. So when the church hears this, what are they going to do with this? You have to be trained in traumatology. In other words, when vets are coming back from Iraq or Afghanistan, and over 10% of them are suffering from PTSD, what do? Give them a Bible lesson? You got to treat the PTSD. It's a real phenomenon. There are symptoms of trauma. And if we try to explain those away or not deal with them, in the compassion of Jesus Christ, we're not going to help these people. And I have to say that many of those that have gone, that have a history of SRADID, stop trying to seek help in the church because they're not getting help there. And they will go to a professional counselor who is trained in traumatology, and they won't tell anybody because they don't want to be condemned for being a failure or they have lack of faith. That's what they've been told. And I'll just say this in a context that, I years ago when I was doing a project with David Wilkerson called the Refiner's Fire, and was with him when he was on a sabbatical back in the 80s, and his wife Gwen, they're of course both with the Lord now, had an episode, I think because of the drugs she was taking for her treatment, I think cancer, she went off the road and had some kind of a lapse, and he had to go tend to the situation, and he came back with, and he told me an account of the church that they were attending. And the pastor of the church, not at the time, but in the past, he says, you know, David, if you were really walking in faith, if you really had faith in God, your wife would be healed. Now that, you know what? When I heard that, that was so offensive because, I mean, I watched this man. I watched his spiritual life. I mean, his wife was raised up in the 2 weeks I was there. Not the 2 weeks I was there, but 2 weeks after I was there, after there was a certain prayer time and thing that he did, But, you know, we have this condemnation on people who are coming out and have a trauma history. It'd be like a Holocaust survivor having all kinds of symptoms of going through the Holocaust, walking into a church with somebody laying hands on them, anointing them with oil, and expect them to get over it overnight. Well, you know what? What if God wants you to suffer with that person for a while? What if God wants you to walk into a place where he has been suffering in them? How many want to suffer with Jesus? Gary Hogan, who is the founder of the International Justice Mission, when he went into Rwanda and over a million people were hacked to death by machetes, and many of them were Christians, burned alive in churches. And people would ask the question when he went over there under the UN to try to, find out what happened and to write a report. It was so shocking and devastating to pull the corpses of mothers off of their dead babies trying to save them. They were hacked to death and burned to death. And people would ask him, how could God allow something like this to happen? And you know what he said? That's not the right question. Where was the church when 1 million people were being slaughtered in Rwanda in 4 months? Where was the church? And that's no different today. We've got thousands and even millions of people that are SRIDID, and they can't go to the church because they're made to feel like they're a failure if they don't comply to our deliverance paradigm.
Oh, amen, amen. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you for saying that. As a matter of fact, folks, for any of you out there that don't know what Pastor Riggs is referring to, SRA is Satanic Ritual Abuse, and DID is Dissociative Identity Disorder. And basically, the fundamentals of this concept, it goes back into the realms of mind control. It's a practice that's done not only by these fallen angelic alien being demons, being things, but it's also been done by the Illuminati. The Illuminati organization is a very real, a very dark, a very well-funded organization from the bowels of hell. These are practicing satanic ritual people. It goes up through bloodlines. Indeed, they have children that are brought into it. It's just like the Brotherhood of Satan. A lot of times, the children are bequeathed to the devil while they're still in the womb. It's a very dark practice. They will take children at a very, very young age and make them do absolutely horrible, unspeakable things to cause compartmentalization of the mind through this trauma. And when they traumatize them significantly enough, the mind will compartmentalize, and you can ultimately have what used to be called multiple personality disorder, and now it's called DID. And so it's practiced as a tactic to control the minds and to ultimately create multiple compartments in the mind that can be possessed separately by different devils.
And there's so much of that's gone on, and of course Mengele was the pioneer of this. I have that posted on the website under SRIDID, the trauma-based mind control. There's a whole thing on Mengele, but John, another thing is that an issue on this is the CIA has been doing these practices for. In fact, they were the founders of the backing of the false memory syndrome, so-called. But Esther Brooks and Jolly West and some of these guys that were the founders of this phenomenon in the CIA. There's a book that was written called I forget what it was. It's called a Project Blue Book. I think it was by Dr. Colin Ross. He rewrote the book and titled it The CIA Doctors. Dr. Colin Ross is not a Christian, but as a psychiatrist and one who has counseled multiples for many years, he documents as a professional and as not as a Christian that the CIA mind control programs, MKUltra, is not stopped as some of the propagandists want us to believe. But in his book, The CIA Doctors, he documents that these practices that you just described so well has also been perpetrated by the CIA.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. As a matter of fact, my research indicates powerfully that we're talking about multiple levels of so if you go to the upper echelon of the military, the upper echelon, the oligarchy, if you will, of we'll just call it the shadow government, the black ops, call it whatever you will. And then if you study alien abduction testimony enough, unfortunately, in my personal opinion, most Christians do not study that phenomenon enough to really truly know what's going on. That's just my personal opinion. But anyway, but I can tell you, when you understand the whole concept of mill labs, you understand that a lot of the testimonies, you've got these military people that are working side by side with these various creatures, okay, right out of the book of Ezekiel. We're talking about some really dark entities that and it's dark, folks, and it's multiple levels. It's all across, it's up, it's higher than the White House. It's higher than the Kremlin.
That's right.
We're talking about in the catacombs and the bowels underneath the Vatican, where they actually christen and inaugurate these various people into the realm of the upper echelon of the Illuminati by committing child sacrifice. Well, this is a whole, this is not just, you know, 1,000 people, folks. This is millions of people. This is a very dark situation that's being built up for, as Pastor Rick's pointed out, for the Great Tribulation. It's very dark, and it's going to get a lot darker.
Yeah, so you know that the promise that, what does it mean for the Messiah to be living in us, Christ in you, the hope of glory? I think what I've been focusing on with the folks here who come out of this history is to build them up and to, from the Word of God, so they can begin to see what it means for them to be in Christ and for Christ to be in them. And I can't emphasize that enough. I would just recommend to the listeners, if they haven't listened to one message, it's called Reckoning with the Truth, by Pastor Eric Ludy, L-U-D-Y. You can just Google it in, Reckoning with the Truth by Pastor Eric Ludy. You listen to a message like that, or, you know, Power for the Impossible. What you hear when you listen to a message like this is that which will empower you with God's provision for who you are as a born-again child of God in these last days, to be equipped to face this darkest hour.
Amen. Praise God. Would you share with everybody how they can get more information, your website, and where they can find these different videos and such?
Yes. Well, my website is dougriggs.org, and under different tabs, under the SRA, I have a whole page on that discussing some of the things that we talked about tonight. Under the Bite Show tab are a series of Bible studies and teachings that I gave for several years. The whole purpose is to equip God's people in these last days. And so that's under the Bite Show. And then under ministry, we have some current things posted that we're doing in our assembly. There's a counseling tab. So there's various things on there depending on what people are interested in, and it's just designed to help people be equipped to face the things we're talking about.
Okay, so basically, so you also have a counseling tab. Do you help people that have problems with this or have family members that they're concerned about?
No, what I do is when people are calling and need help, they have to have a counselor. What I do is I function as a consultant, and when people are stuck, right, they may be a therapist. They can be trained and have a degree, but they don't really know how to deal with some of this higher-level stuff. I will work with their counselor and provide oversight and direction so that their ongoing help that they're getting can have some oversight. So I do this as a consultant, but I do not take on people personally because I can't do that long distance, and it just doesn't work.
And you were saying there was a video that people could watch. It was Ludy to kind of get the entry-level understanding of who they are, you know, and their responsibilities of obedience to Jesus. What was that video again?
Yeah, it's just Eric Ludy, L-U-D-Y, and the ministry is Ellerslie. I'll send you the link if you want to have that. But he has if you go to his sermons index, there are many, many sermons, and the whole emphasis is the centrality of Jesus Christ in the life of the Christian. That's his whole call. He doesn't focus on anything other than the centrality and the sufficiency of Jesus Christ. So I think that's very healthy, and we need that in this particular time. So just they could just Google Eric Ludy, and it's the Ellerslie Missionary and Discipleship Training, and his whole goal, he has training courses for people that can come there, young people that are coming out of high school, they go there for training, and when they leave, man, they're equipped. They go out on fire for the Lord.
Wow, praise God. That's exciting. I love that. I'm we're always talking about like one of the teaching places that we like to send folks to is Pastor Curry Blake's operation over at the John G. Lakes Ministries. He has a really good spiritual warfare SWAT training is what he calls it. Amen. We got to equip people and get them ready because, you know, again, as it's part of understanding how to bind, loose, cast out these principalities, powers, and strongholds and to do your job and be obedient to Jesus as a son of God now and not just sit around and listen to sermons and, you know, all that kind of stuff. I mean, folks, we have responsibilities and it's all part of, you know, who we are as members of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Praise Jesus. And this is just a total blessing. Brother, would you be willing to go ahead and close the show with a prayer tonight?
I'd be glad to. Father God, we just give you thanks for your faithfulness and just who you are as the source of everything that's good and for being sacrificial in sending your uniquely begotten Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, to be the sacrifice for our sins on the cross, providing so great a salvation. Just pray for all the listeners that if these things seem to be shocking and terrifying, that you alone are to be feared. And that we should never be afraid of the adversary, because greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. So we give you thanks, Father, for the truth of who we are in Christ. And we just pray that that through this that people will be maybe energized and desire to seek you more and just discover the position and the plan you have for us in these last days. So your blessing on your people, Father, and encouragement and protection, we pray in Jesus' name.